Encounter 3. Gulf of Mexico, 65 million BP. It came in vertically, punching a hole 10 kilometers wide through the atmosphere, generating temperatures so high that the air itself started to burn. When it hit the ground, rock turned to liquid and spread outward in mountainous waves, not freezing until it had formed a crater 200 kilometers across. That was only the beginning of disaster. Now the real tragedy began. Nitric oxides rained from the air, turning the sea to acid. Clouds of soot from incinerated forests darkened the sky, hiding the sun for months. Worldwide, the temperature dropped precipitously, killing off most of the plants and animals that had survived the initial cataclysm. Though some species would linger on for millennia, the reign of the great reptiles was finally over. The clock of evolution had been reset. The countdown to man had begun. The date was, very approximately, 65 million before present. Chapter 4. Death Sentence. Given for one instant an intelligence that could comprehend all the forces by which nature is animated, an intelligence sufficiently vast to submit these data to analysis, it would embrace in the same formula the movements of the greatest bodies in the universe and those of the lightest atom. For it, nothing would be uncertain, and the future, as the past, would be present to its eyes. Pierre Simon de Laplace, 1814. Robert Singh had little patience with philosophical speculations, but when he first encountered the great French mathematician's words in an astronomy textbook, he felt something close to horror. However improbable an intelligence sufficiently vast might be, the very idea of its possibility was frightful. Was free will, which Singh fondly imagined he possessed, no more than an illusion, since his every act could be predetermined, at least in principle? He was vastly relieved when he learned how the Laplacian nightmare had been exorcised by the development of chaos theory in the late 20th century. It was then realized that not even the future of a single atom, let alone the whole universe, could be predicted with perfect accuracy. To do so would require that its initial location and its velocity would have to be known with infinite precision. Any error in the millionth or billionth or centillionth place would ultimately build up until reality and the theory no longer bore the slightest resemblance. Yet some events could be predicted with absolute confidence, at least over periods of time that were long by human standards. The movements of the planets under the gravitational field of the sun, and of each other, was the classic example to which Laplace devoted his genius when he was not discussing philosophy with Napoleon. Although the long-term stability of the solar system could not be guaranteed, the positions of the planets could be calculated for tens of thousands of years into the future, within very small limits of error. The future of Kali needed to be known only for a matter of months, and the allowable error was the diameter of Earth. Now that the radio beacon implanted on the asteroid had allowed its orbit to be computed with the necessary precision, there was no further room for uncertainty or hope. Not that Robert Singh had ever allowed himself much hope. The message that David reported to him as soon as it arrived by tight infrared beam from the lunar relay station was just what he had expected. Spacewatch computers report that Kali will hit Earth in 241 days, 13 hours, 05 minutes, plus or minus 20 minutes. Ground zero still being determined, probably Pacific area. So, Kali would land in the ocean. That would do nothing to reduce the extent of the global catastrophe. It might even make it worse when a kilometer-high wave swept to the foothills of the Himalayas. "I've acknowledged," said David. "There's another message coming through."
"I know."
It could not have been more than a minute, but it seemed like an eternity. "Space Guard Control to Goliath. You are authorized to begin Operation Atlas. Immediately."